All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Mitch England, Vice President, Driver Relations, and this is the monthly Driver Town Hall conference call for December. So thank you for taking some time to join us today. We do this every single month. We love to take the time to listen to your feedback and answer questions and really provide some updates each and every month. It's just a great way we can make sure that we're operating as efficiently for our customers as we can and providing the best service and safety as well. So again, thank you for taking the time. We've got most of our managers, most of our executives, and all of our departments represented here on the call. So we're going to open it up to feedback towards the end. We're also recording these calls, right? So we record them and post them in the podcast section of the CRE Toolbox app. So if you want to listen to past town halls or re-listen to this one, you can go after the call. It'll be there, and you can listen to it as well. And if other drivers, you can spread the word if weren't able to join, you can direct them there as well. So also just a reminder that feedback is important. We want to hear what's going on with you in the day-to-day. Of course, you've got your managers and teams of operations people that you can talk to and reach out to, and they're ready and able to assist and answer questions and do a great job. And we also have this monthly town hall call, as well as our surveys that we do at the end of the safety videos, where you can respond and reach out. So a lot of opportunities for you to provide feedback, and all in an effort, again, to help us to serve our customers better. So let me give you a quick update. So TJ England was scheduled to be the host of this call, and I'm going to be filling in for him and hosting the entire call today. TJ is recovering from an illness, and so we wish him a full and speedy recovery. And so he wasn't able to join, but again, I'll be filling in for TJ today, and we've got many people to help answer questions today. So I want to first start off and just kind of quickly give an update on our 40X results and just kind of talk a little bit about our safe and on-time every time goals. So overall, last week, we did reach the goal. We were at 99.39, both safe and on time. And we've really done very, very well over the last several weeks hitting our target. Now, if you break it down into the two battles, we did very well on service again last week, so 99.5% on-time service, so great job reaching the goal. The goal was 99.29 last week. We did fall a little bit short on the safety side, and so we didn't quite reach our chargeable accident rate. Was 5.15 versus the goal of 4.53, so again, lower is better there. So we have some work to do to continue to focus on safety. And so I do want to kind of turn it over to our Vice President of Safety, Aaron Shepard, to give us an update and how we can do better on the safety front. So, Aaron, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Mitch, and thanks for calling in, everybody. We're getting into winter, and winter weather is it's simply no joke. Every year, snowy, icy road conditions cause over 1,800 fatalities and thousands of injuries, but you can safely navigate winter weather if you take the proper precautions. So I have a few tips to share on how to drive safe in the winter. But before I do, there is some advice from a caller. A caller called into a North Carolina news station years ago, and every winter I channel this advice. It kind of hits me. It's not part of our winter driving guidebook, but I think some of you may get a kick out of it. But the caller said, if you rarely drive in snow, just pretend you're taking your grandma to church. There's a platter of biscuits and 2 gallons of tea in glass jars in the back seat. She's wearing a new dress and holding a crock pot full of gravy. And while not the most specific driving advice, driving slow and driving, making slow, gradual changes so you don't spill the gravy, that's always resonated with me. So I hope you guys get a kick out of that. But getting into three tips, first one is super important. We see this every year. Turn your cruise control off in poor weather. Cruise control will break with just the drive axle, where the service brake will apply braking across all axles. and that just one stopping axle can cause a skid. You don't have enough traction and can turn you into a drag knife. So if you are in wet or snowy weather, you got to take off cruise control and navigate on with the pedals. Second tip, increase falling distance from a minimum of 7 seconds to a minimum of 14. I know it seems like a really long time, but it is really hard to stop in poor conditions. It takes a long time, and that extra falling distance will give you enough time to safely react to hazards ahead, which inevitably happens. The last tip I have, super important. I think if everyone follows this, we can really have an awesome winter, and it's slow your speed by a third on wet roads and by half in snow. And if you're seeing icy conditions, you got to find a safe place and wait it out. So speed for conditions cause a lot of winter crashes. And if you adhere to that guidance, I think you can get through this winter unscathed. Thanks, Mitch.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it. Yeah, focus on safety. Let's continue to improve and focus during this difficult winter weather season, and we can improve. We're confident we can. So thank you, Aaron. You know, we just come out of Thanksgiving a couple weeks ago, and I just want to reinforce how thankful we are to all of you, all the drivers out there working hard every day, how professional you are, and how we appreciate and are thankful for your focus on safety and focus on service as we continue to make improvements on our safe and on-time goals each and every week and each and every year. We continue to set the bar higher, and you have responded. We're so thankful for you. We're, of course, thankful for all of our non-driver personnel that also assist in serving our customers and making everything happen. So, a shout-out again, a thank you. It was a great holiday, and another great holiday, Christmas, coming up. So please continue to focus on safety and service, and we're also very thankful for our customers this time of year and all the work and business that they provide and allow us to serve them and their needs. And so, again, continue to be safe and focus on safety and service. And in terms of our customers and how thankful for you are, we have our customer spotlight again this month, and I'm going to turn it over to Lori. Go ahead, Lori.
Hey, Mitch. Thank you. So every month I get to highlight a customer, and a lot of times – I highlight our large customers, but I also want to include some smaller customers. So today I want to highlight one of our smaller customers, but a customer with tremendous growth potential. That customer is Vantix McLean. Vantix is an industry-leading 3PL specializing in the food industry, as well as time-sensitive goods that require careful handling and transportation. They are owned by the McLean Company, a $50 billion business unit of Berkshire Hathaway with more than 120 years in business. They provide supply chain services to convenience stores, grocery chains, chain restaurants, and alcoholic beverage industries with 85 strategically placed warehouses across the country. The relationship between Vantix McLean and Sierra England goes back several years, and we have extensive knowledge of their business with a plan to grow in 2026. Earlier this year, we renewed our partnership with them, and we're now moving intermodal and OTR shipments. We move about 3 loads a week in OTR and 5 loads per week in intermodal. With the support of the Vantix team, we're going to increase our volumes for both modes. We have proven that our communication and service levels have shown them that we care about their business. This could not have been possible without the entire team at Sierra England and the dedication of our drivers. Thank you for what you do and the part you play in our future growth with Vantix McLean. Back to you, Mitch. Thanks.
Great. Thanks so much, Lori. And Lori Akins, our Vice President of Sales. And as she said, you know, we have a lot of new exciting customers. Starts with our drivers, all of you, and the performance that you, and the service that you provide for our customers that allows us to go out and find these new potential opportunities and grow with our current customers. So keep it up. And a big shout out to the sales team and all the people behind the scenes making that happen as well. I just want to also reinforce and remind everybody about some of the great customers that we've grown with and added as well this year. So some recent announcements. We talked about these last month, but just want to announce them again. So some growth in our dedicated division, specifically recent growth with Niagara Water. So we added in the Salt Lake City or Brigham City market 11 drivers and the Denver Aurora market 10 drivers, which is day cab, local work, and the startup is going on right now, kind of mid-December here. So great new customer, Niagara Water, great new growth, and we're excited about that opportunity there. Also, throughout this year, we grew quite a bit, and it was very exciting to see. So we grew with Anheuser-Busch, great customer of ours, in Van Nuys, California, about 80 new driving jobs. Big growth area with Kroger, a great big customer and excited about this. In Denver, Colorado, 210 new jobs, and that's been a lot of work and a lot of great opportunities for us. And then also Dollar Tree in Odessa, Texas, 30 new driving jobs. So some great growth in the dedicated division. Again, starts with all of you drivers and the performance and the service that you're providing. So keep it up. We're excited about next year and the opportunities that we're hoping to get. And as soon as we get those, we'll make sure to announce them as well. So thank you again for all of that and continued your focus on safety and service. So I do want to turn it over now to Darren. He has some information and updates for us about the road team. Go ahead, Darren.
Thanks, Mitch. So those of you who have seen the December safety video will hopefully have watched my little segment there announcing our new series of Road Team Live shows about driver health and wellness. We're into that. We've done two of those so far. And I just wanted to remind all the drivers about these. If you want to watch the recordings of those, they are in the Road Team private Facebook group, or they're on the Road Team YouTube channel. And you can get both of those links if you go to your CRE Toolbox app, main menu, scroll down, click on Road Team, and it's going to open up a whole new page that has all of our links in there. So this is turning out to be really, really good. We're very excited about it. So drivers, if you are interested in getting in better shape, improving your health, getting some ideas on that, we would love to have you with us in these. And I'll announce future shows as they are coming up. And basically what we're doing and the way that it's turning out here, we're really focusing on what we call the five pillars of health. So those are food, hydration, exercise, sleep, and stress management. If you can do better in, you know, some of those things or all of those things, it can really make a huge difference. And that's what we're looking into and talking about in this video series on driver health and wellness. So check us out in the CRE Toolbox app, get in touch, and let us know if you have any questions. Thanks, Mitch.
All right. Thanks, Darren. Love what you guys are doing there. Really cool information that's going to go out to our drivers. And again, another plug for the Road Team. If you're new to the company, the Road Team is a great resource for all things driving jobs and just trucking industry. And these guys have a wealth of information. So please reach out to them if you have any questions or want any information or tips or anything. So a great team of drivers that are really doing a lot for us. We appreciate all that they do. All right, Darren, why don't you give us some instructions now? We'll open it up to drivers and feedback. And so go ahead.
Yeah, drivers, if you have a question, if you can safely hit *6 on your phone, that will put you into the queue to ask a question. And lots of drivers who've been around for a while, they already knew that. So we've got quite a list here. So let me get into this, and we'll start at the top here. It doesn't have a name, but it is Fresno area code 559-367. 559-367. I'm going to click on you, and it's going to unmute you. Are you there? 559-367. Well, maybe we lost that person. Let's go to the next. The next one is actually the same number, so maybe this one will work.
Okay, I'm unmuted now.
Yeah.
Great.
Hey, what's your name and how can we help you?
Oh, my name is Rosara. I was just curious because I don't hardly do these meetings and I just got a load and I was just curious, like, when are they going to get on here? I was clocking in at 9 o'clock, checking it. And so I was just curious, but I was overhearing your conversation and everything's okay. Thank you. Okay. I know what it's about now.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Okay.
Glad
thank you.
Here. Yeah. Next up,
be safe. Yep.
Yeah. Next up is, I think it says Patrick, 603 area code.
Hello.
Hey, we got you.
Yeah, go ahead. We can hear you. Yep.
Yeah, this is not Patrick. This is Dwayne. Patrick's my son-in-law. His phone plan. Yeah, I have a. I don't know if it's really a question. It's more of a concern. Well, two things, actually. One thing for the safety guy who started out at the beginning, winter driving. I've been doing this for 30 years. I haven't been with you guys that long. Winter driving, here's your rule. It's the same as power tools, wild animals, and driving the truck in general. Respect the weather.
Yeah, love that. Dwayne, like how long have you been with us, Dwayne, now?
I don't think I'm at a year yet. I'm close.
Okay.
Have some
and what division do you work under? What fleet are you driving in?
Family Dollar.
All right, great. Yeah, love that. Respect the weather. Certainly, we that's a great tip. Understand that we have to drive for the conditions, respect the weather. And if you're feeling unsafe, make sure you pull off safely and respect that weather with the conditions. So it's great advice. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I'd like to know, as far as doing Family Dollars, I'm not saying this myself. I'm speaking for all drivers. Because I was out. I had some medical problems on my foot. I came back. And when I came back, before I went out, I was like, God, that's when we said, you know, hey, St. George, you're going to start going to Texas. I thought it'd be a good thing. It's not. I am all for the company. I don't mind offloading. That's no problem, even at my age. Why am I hearing something in the background? Okay.
Maybe
I have no problem offloading.
Yeah.
I have no problem offloading at my age. I'll keep up with anybody. But for that day of offloading, the money is not where it should be, period. And I say that with my 30 years experience, that $320 a day for offloading, whether it be three or five stops, that's a full trailer. I like the exercise. It's good for my diabetes, but the $320 is not, that should be a $400 a day. And I say this with this in mind. I'm sorry. I wish it was.
Yeah, let me appreciate the feedback there.
I'm almost done.
Okay.
Until one of you, and I would put the challenge out to anybody with the last name of England, not in a mean way. I'm just trying to prove a point. Until you go and offload a truck by yourself, don't care what season it is, hot, cold, whatever. You're not going to understand what I'm talking about.
So yeah, let me cut you off. I think we have an answer for you. So I'm going to turn this over to Zach England, our chief operating officer, who's also oversees all the dedicated operations and has done this. Chad England, our CEO, has also done this. Zach, maybe you could explain the CDL program and your experience as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Mitch and Dwayne. It's great to talk to you. What you're talking about, that for those that are on the call that don't know, this Family Dollar business is very challenging. I've actually spent a day on Dwayne's fleet there in St. George delivering and unloading, and I can completely you know, from my one day experience, relate to the physical exertion that's required in a job like this. There's no doubt it's the most physically challenging job that we have. And for those, again, that aren't on the fleet, it's you are touching thousands of boxes that are all floor stacked and things that are, you know, oftentimes you have to be very careful that things don't fall from the top and hit you on the head, and there's risk for injury. And yeah, it's the nature of the beast. We're actually working with the customer to get improvements to make that an easier process. But yeah, totally agree. It's a really, really challenging and difficult position. So my brother Chad, our CEO, has also spent a day doing that. We've also had Aaron Shepard, who we heard from before, has also spent a day doing that. So on dollar accounts. Okay. And so we can at least appreciate to a degree how challenging that is. So good recommendation. We are a trucking company run by truckers. And so we have our CDLs, we get out and we do it, and we get the experience to a degree. We oftentimes ride along with a driver like you, Dwayne, to kind of get the experience even further. So another brother of ours, Josh, has also done similar things. So anyway, Dwayne, we recognize it's difficult. Appreciate your comments. We'll take the pay amount into consideration. Let me just tell you, on the pay front, we look very closely at everything involved in pay, whether it's, you know, of course, the amount of time driving and the efforts to load and unload and kind of the whole picture. And we benchmark against other driving positions. We work with the customer, and we are very competitive collectively on our driving positions. It doesn't mean that they're all perfect all the time. We always are evaluating them and making changes when appropriate. The challenge right now with making driver pay adjustments is we're in a freight market that is, we're coming up in 2 months on the 4-year anniversary of the freight market falling off a cliff, and rates have been dropping. So our revenue from our customers, what our customers are paying, have continued to drop over the 4 years. It's an extremely, extremely competitive market right now, with other trucking companies doing their best to undercut our rates and to win our accounts. So we're doing our very best to balance all of those factors, but taking care of our drivers is a huge priority. So this is something that is something that we're talking about all the time.
Well, the last thing, I just want to say one last thing about it, is I was doing Albuquerque and Vegas. Fine. Now I'm just doing Texas, and it's only one stop a week. I went from $1,800 paycheck to $1,200 paycheck.
Hey, Dwayne, having a hard time hearing you. There's a bunch of wind or something.
Oh, hold on. How's that? That better?
Sounds better, yeah.
That better?
Yep.
Okay. I went from $1,800 a week to $1,200 a week. And nobody asked me. They were just like, you're going to Texas.
Right.
I'm not going to say, oh, it's not your fault, but because of that, and the fact that right now Lincoln Financial is dragging their feet on my short-term disability payments, they haven't got any, I'm on the verge of bankruptcy. But well, when I went to $1,200 a week, that's a huge loss, $600.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's just
under. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Sorry to hear of your challenges and the injury to your foot and so forth. I'd continue to talk to your leadership and potentially find a way to help you bridge that gap. What happened on that account, I'm not sure if you're aware, but when Family Dollar and Dollar Tree split, Dollar Tree took some of the distribution centers that were servicing Texas. And so Family Dollar, St. George, basically services almost, I mean, you know this, but the entire West, including Texas. And so it's changed a lot on the account. There will be a lot of changes, and we'll stabilize, but I'd say continue to stay in touch with your leadership. And yeah, we'll do our best to keep you moving and earning as best we can.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much. Sounds like you worked with Wayne Cederholm too. Is that right, Dwayne?
For what?
Earlier this year. Do you remember working with Wayne, one of our vice presidents?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, you can only say he had a meeting in L.A. He saved me for about 30 minutes. But yeah, Wayne and I still talk. So.
Awesome.
It's just,
great.
It's not. It's, you know, I. It's just like. Nobody asked me, hey, do you mind taking a 20, you know, how would you guys like it? Somebody said, hey, can you get a 20% loss in salary?
Yeah, no, it's, okay, it's tough. We appreciate all you're doing. We're doing the best we can. Please stay in touch with your leadership and keep communicating, and we'll work through this. So appreciate you, Dwayne. All right, let's go to the next question. Go ahead, Darren.
Okay, speaking of Family Dollar, it's Daryl Banning. You there, Daryl?
Hey, Mr. Darren, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got you, Daryl.
Hey, Mr. Mitch, how you doing, sir?
Good, Daryl. How are you?
Good. I'm absolutely fabulous. I kind of like to speak to you. I can talk about your cousin who's an absolute beast, Mr. Zach, and unloading the trailers. Stood toe-to-toe with me the whole time, backed up the trailers. He did everything. So when the Englands say they are, you know, truckers, you know, running a trucking company that are truckers. I've personally been with, you know, Mr. Zach England. I've been with Aaron Shepherd, who has unloaded the trailer. So they know exactly what we go through, and it was done at a hot time of the season. So Mr. Zach got the full blower, and you know what? He stood, like I said, he stood toe-to-toe with me. I tell everybody, our COO is a beast, and I can't brag about him enough. And then, you know, I would like to say, you know, thank you. And this account, so the gentleman knows before, is we actually have received several raises over the years because of they know how hard it is. So this is, we are not just one of the top paid company or accounts. I think we're the top out of St. George. So you're in a great place to go. So definitely talk to the office and keep running.
All right.
And then,
thanks so much, Daryl. Yep.
Definitely. I got one more, Mr. Mitch. So I got an email from a gentleman, and I don't think he quite understands how it is when it comes to driving past your clock, whether it's a few seconds or it's a, you know, whole hour. It's a violation no matter what. So he asked me to ask this question on the call. So I'm just relaying it. You know, could you speak to, you know, a violation past your 8, 11, 14-hour clock? Whether it's a couple seconds or it's an hour, it's a violation no matter what. And as they stack up, so does your safety score. And then it's also a problem with your CSA score as well if you get stopped by a DOT officer.
Yeah, good question. Again, thanks for that, relaying that information. Zach is a beast, that's for sure. And Dustin or Adam, are you guys on the call? We could kind of answer the log
question,
the hour of service question. Yeah, go ahead,
can you hear me? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Daryl, thanks for bringing that up. This is Dustin. I work in Vice President of Compliance and Claims, and we deal with the hours of service. But you are correct. If we have, you know, our electronic logs are measured to the minute. So if you have a violation over your 8, 11, or 70-hour rule, just by a minute, it is a violation. And, yeah, we're held accountable to that by the FMCSA. So good thing is you've got the countdown on your tablets of how much time you have, and hopefully you're trip planning properly to avoid those violations.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks so much, Daryl. And if anyone knows Daryl, he is a beast. He is the beast. Most fit guy, strong guy, was a power lifter. So anyway, appreciate all the hard work Daryl puts in and great driver for us. Appreciate the information and feedback and question. Thanks, Daryl.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Daryl.
All right. Next question. Go ahead, Darren.
It's 504. It's Mark. I think it's Mark. Mark, is that you?
Hey there, guys. Yes.
Hello.
Hey, it's me. Hey, first of all, I wanted to give a shout out to what you were talking about earlier with the road team. for the new drivers that are out there, if you're not utilizing your road team and tapping into that resource, you're really selling yourself short. And you don't have to call in. You can just look for one of the trucks that are sitting out there in the parking lot. It's going to have a road team sticker on it. You know, as long as the curtains aren't pulled and they're not sleeping, you know, go approach one of these drivers and ask them some questions. They're going to be more than willing to help out. Getting to my question, recently I've had to deal with some drivers that were a little bit lacking in their skills, and when I went to go and help them out, I was surprised to find out that they were hired on as experienced drivers. In line with what Daryl was just talking about in hours of service, one driver in particular, his violation was egregious, and that triggered huge red flags for me, because I'm thinking, okay, it could be just as simple as, like, it's noted in England's logs. It could be an audit later on. It could be going through a weigh station and having an officer finding that when they pull the records. And, you know, those are going to be huge fines, but it could actually get a whole lot worse than that and end up costing a whole lot more money. So my thoughts are, is what kind of vetting are we doing with these drivers that are coming in claiming that they're experienced? Are we giving them any kind of, a pretest or something like that? And my preference would be is that they go out with a mentor for at least 5 days. You don't have to call it training. Just tell them it's indoctrination so they can learn the England way. And regardless of their experience or how good they really are, my belief is that they should go out with somebody just for a few days, so they can learn the England way. And I wonder what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah, good take. And I'm going to turn it over to Wayne Cederholm, and he can talk about our process there. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, hey, Mark. So long time no talk. We talked about
the
exact thing yesterday. Yeah. Dusty, Jacobs, and I have talked about this. We do have a challenge on experienced drivers on the OTR going out with mentors because of our mentor capacity. And so one of the things that we've put in place, and we haven't taken anyone yet, we just started it. We have an interview process where we've actually been doing this for a little while, but they have to score a certain number. And if they don't hit that score in the recruiting interview, they have to go out with someone either in mentoring, or they have to spend extra time in the school. We just added the extra time in the school recently. So this driver that you're referring to specifically will be coming to Salt Lake. I know you're going to help them. We are going to help them too. But yeah, they will have to spend an extra day in school to get that training. Now, as far as going out with a mentor, we want them to go out with a mentor, but it may have to be a local driver or an experienced driver that can take them. Regardless, we are working with ops to identify this, these ones who don't score as high as an experienced driver. The other thing on the dedicated side, I know you're referring to OTR, but dedicated actually does take them out. Each account has their own setup that they do to onboard them. And so once they get to the account, they go out for a few days and work with them as well. So we are working on this. We are trying to add a little bit more in the school to support the ones that need the extra help.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Wayne. I appreciate that detailed explanation.
No problem.
Do I have time to ask a hypothetical?
Sure. Yeah.
Great. Darren knows this because I've been sending him links to it, but I've been watching a lot of things that have been happening up north with Canada, with the potential of provinces becoming sovereign nations or even becoming part of the United States. Have any of you been looking at that as something as like maybe a long-term window that we might be heading further up north with loads?
You're talking a question about doing business more in Canada. Is that your question?
Well, kind of. It would be what is known as Canada right now, but Alberta is considering separating from Canada as far as Saskatchewan, the Yukon, British Columbia, and Manitoba.
Okay.
So they're all thinking about becoming sovereign nations or maybe even becoming part of the United States. And I mean, it's possible. It's not something that would happen overnight, but there is a right. lot of discussion going on about it, and I was wondering if y'all have been even seen anything about that.
Well, I heard you wanted to be an ice road trucker. Is that right? Is that right, Mark?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Do you want to be a star on the Ice Road Trucker series? Is that your...
No, actually, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, let me just say...
I like my truck. I don't want it to sink to the bottom.
Let me just say, you know, certainly we're not going to speculate on what might or might not happen. We're obviously looking for new opportunities at all times, you know, and there's just more complexities as it relates to, you know, doing business in different countries. We certainly evaluate that and make those decisions as they come up. At this point, we're really focused on growing within the United States and our customers currently, and we're doing a great job on the sales team. But yeah, obviously, if things change and things become easier to do more business in different parts of the world, then that's a great opportunity we'd try to take advantage of. So, yeah, and then we can get you on those frozen lakes if that becomes an option.
Well,
that's crazy stuff. We don't
bring a camera
that
crew.
That would make Aaron lose many years of life on that kind of thing. So, anyway, thanks, Mark. Appreciate you. And, yeah, we'll go to the next one.
All right.
Okay, next one is, must be a Southern Cal, area code 951818, whoever this is, there's no name, 951818.
Hey, it's Paul Simon.
Oh, hey, Paul.
Paul, hey, buddy.
Hey, so I have three things all regarding the same system. These three have to do with the workflow app, and I would love to talk to somebody after this call to give more details into it, but here's the issues that I'm coming up with that I've noticed have been back-to-back with every single one that I've gotten for, I want to say, the past couple weeks. One is when we get updates, like when back end, like, you know, dispatchers and stuff like that, when they do their standard procedures with our routes, you know, checking in and stuff like that, sometimes it'll update and our past stops will zero out. So it will just go zeros across the board. So instead of it showing previously that we had, you know, X trailer, you know, X amount of straps and load locks and seal numbers and stuff, it will just zero out. The second issue is the ability to create another macro. For example, I had an issue, I want to say about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, where I accidentally hit no on one of my macros because the sun was literally in my face and I was unable to see the tablet clearly enough. And I accidentally hit the no for having a trailer. I went to go and create another version of it that said, yes, I had a trailer, but it's grayed out. It does not give us the option anymore to go back in and actually handle that. So if we make an error, we can no longer correct it ourselves on our end. And the third one is we really, really need an option that we can go in and put in a comment section if there's any changes to store deliveries or anything like that that we find out on the spot. That way we can tie it to our trip to let anybody that's looking in on that trip know that this store or this location or this, like, you know, shipper receiver has certain requirements that we were not aware of beforehand. Example, I went to West Hills, California a couple days ago, and they informed me that our Remix for the Walmart account has to deliver at their downstairs dock now. And that would have been a perfect opportunity for me to put into a small little comment section at the bottom saying, hey, this store now requires that from now on, we go down to the lower dock to get unloaded. And that way, our dispatch and fellow drivers later on have the ability to get that information without us having to go through another 12, 30 steps to get that information to our dispatch.
All right. Okay, good information. I'm going to kick this over to Danielle Smithen in our IT group, and she can respond to kind of the workflow. And yeah, go ahead, Danielle.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. Okay, so as far as the workflow clearing out, this is a problem Platform Science has been having off and on with form submissions and tasks in general. We've been working with them every time the issue comes up, and they go in and find something else, and then they do a release to fix it. So I will let them know that that's happening in the workflow application again and see if they can look into that issue. As far as stuff being grayed out and can't be changed, that's been the way workflow has worked since day one on the Platform Science side. Once you've responded to that particular task, it can't be changed. But if you do reach out to your ops group and say, hey, I did actually have a trailer, they can correct the load for you. And that's why it has to be done that way. Stops have to be changed. Event codes have to be changed on the trip to make it accurate to flow from previous trip to that trip to next trip. So just reach out to operations and they can correct that trip for you. On the third request, we've actually had several requests for this, and it is something that's kind of been sitting on the list for us to do. How can a driver make specific comments about a location? Because yes, today you can go to operations and you can provide that information and someone in the office can make those updates. But we are looking at a way for drivers to actually submit those requests so they can be reviewed and added to different company stops. So be looking out for that as we continue to analyze what that might look like for you guys.
All right. Thanks, Danielle. Does that answer your questions, Paul? I think that's you have some great feedback and ideas that we've also working to implement, and just keep an eye on that. But yeah, does that answer the question, Paul?
Yeah, it was just one of those things where, again, considering the fact that I was constantly meeting those issues, it's I felt that I wasn't the only one, and I was like, well, let me bring it up. And I really am looking forward to that comment ability, so that way, like I said, for that West Hill stop, I can, like, you know, give that kind of feedback back immediately when I'm leaving those stops to help out fellow drivers. Because when I get to stops and there's nothing, like, you know, no information, I feel like that meme from the Tremors movie where it's like, I was missing critical information. And that's why I look at that. So thank you guys very much for that.
All right. A little Kevin Bacon movie, Tremors. Is that the one you're referring to there?
Yes.
Great, great movie. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate your feedback. And, we'll go on to the next. Go ahead, Darren.
Okay. It's David Rosenberg.
Yes.
You there, David? Hey.
Hi. Yes, I'm. Hi. I'll make it pretty quick here. So thing that is going on that I've noticed, because it stopped me four or five times just in 2 months, I'm noticing that the other drivers are not doing the pre-trip inspections on their trailers. And so instead of me being able to hook up and just get on the road, I say I've got an average of 3-4 hours of having to wait for somebody to come out, you know, usually from a Love's, to fix whatever issue it is that I'm having with my trailer. And what I'm seeing is, I think that it's causing an incentive for drivers to, even if they notice something on their pre-trip, to just, because, you know, more often than not, it's a tire. And I think they're saying to themselves, well, I'm going to take the chance and I'm going to get out on the road. If the tire blows, well, I needed to get the tire changed anyways. If it doesn't blow, then I'm just making money. Well, you know, you'll have some drivers where we will do the right thing. We'll see something's got to get changed, something's got to get fixed, and we're sitting there on the side of the road or at a stop waiting for somebody to come out and get to fix the problem. And that's money that we're not making, while the guys who don't want to do the right thing are out there on the road making a lot of money. And again, it seems to be creating an incentive for somebody just to ignore the problem for another driver later down the road to take care of.
Yeah, great feedback, David. I'm going to let our Vice President of Maintenance, Dan Flanagan, answer this. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, David, how are you doing?
I'm okay. How you doing?
Good. Hey, we are seeing this, and I know that the pain that a lot of drivers go through when another driver leaves a unit where there's something wrong with it, and they don't say anything about it. And just as a just an example of how important a pre-trip is so is a post-trip. Make sure that, you know, during the time that you were out there, that you didn't get a flat tire or a light out, and now you drop the trailer and another driver has to pick it up. We do look at that, okay? So we do take that into consideration when we send a vendor out to fix the trailer to say or to see who had the trailer last. And we do follow up with our solutions team. We have a solutions team at In-Road Service to where we contact the previous driver who had the trailer. So we look it up, see who had the trailer, and we don't accuse, but we say to the driver, were you aware that you had a flat tire when you dropped that trailer? Were you aware that there was damage to that trailer that now we have to fix it safe? So we do do that, but at the same time, when you call it in, if you go to pick up a trailer and you call it in and say, hey, I'm going to pick up this trailer, but there's damage to it. If you would let our road service team member know that, hey, when I got this trailer, when I went to pick it up, there was something wrong with it. Again, our solutions team will follow up with the driver. And I understand what you mean by, you know, a driver take the risk and just try and take it. But at the same time, we do follow up on making sure that, or at least questioning the drivers, hey, did you know you left the a trailer with damage to it and or a flat tire and or light out? Does that help, David?
Okay. Can I interrupt you for a second?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's not actually what I'm really getting at. I know that you guys do that. But, for instance, I had a tire once that there's no way it was only the past driver. So going back just one, like you would not, there's no way to be able to look at the tire and say it went back X amount of drivers and talk to every single driver before me all the way to the one that you assume is the one that should have first reported it. The incentive I'm talking about is money. These drivers are looking at the conditions of the trailers and saying, I know if I sit here, I'm not going to get paid. There's no compensation pay for me sitting here for 3 to 6 hours. But I could take the chance and get on the road, and now I'm getting paid because of it. Maybe the tire won't go out. So I'm talking more about incentives being created to counter the incentive of just letting it go. And the only incentive is money.
And what would you suggest we do in that case? What in your mind would we do to correct that?
Okay. Well, it's been explained to me by people at CR England, other drivers, so I fully admit to other drivers, beyond that information can go, that for the first 24 hours of there being some kind of maintenance need, we don't get any kind of pay. Is that true or untrue, or are there more nuances to that?
Let's see. So David, are you in the OTR division? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Dusty, do you have any comments on what you guys are working on with this and how you deal with it? You've been dealing this with forever.
Yeah. Hey, David. Just, go ahead. Yeah, David, thanks a lot. And it's a very valid point. And, you know, as you're speaking, I'm just thinking about one of our main values, that we are family, and we obviously need to be thinking of each other. I love what Paul said on the last call. Hey, I want to be able to put in some notes to help the next driver. And that's something that we preach and try to get through. That is part of our DNA, that who we are. But inevitably, to your point, hey, if people are going to be delayed and it's going to cost them a lot of money, they're going to at times take the shortcut and do the wrong thing. So we'll try to follow up with them and solve that. But we do also consider compensation with drivers when they are held up. I think you asked the question specifically about 24 hours. We have a layover, and that would, you know, fall into that same kind of 24. But we're certainly at times going out and around that policy. That's a policy, but, you know, we'll pay drivers for helping us. So I think it's a great call out. It's not new. It's not surprising that sometimes people want to, you know, move on, but we need to do the right thing. And for the most part, our drivers do. We got a lot of great drivers, you included, and you're bringing this up. You're doing the right thing. So we just need to continue to preach that and, you know, hold each other accountable. And when there are situations where drivers are held up, we need to take care of them, and we will. And if you have that, we encourage you to reach out to your fleet manager, and they certainly will be able to go outside of any kind of policy that we have to make sure our drivers are treated right and paid when they need to be.
Okay. I have two very small, short quality of life things for drivers. One's a little goofy, but I think some of the other drivers would be like, oh, yeah, that would be great if that could change. The message that we get when we are approaching a customer where it's asterisk, 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 underbar, 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 and then you get this really long message that's not giving you any information that you didn't already get in the pre-trip information, can that just be eliminated? Because we know we're approaching the customer. I'm not really sure any driver I've ever talked to first thing never seems to understand why we actually need that really, really long message.
We definitely can look at that. We think in some cases more information is better, but I'm with you. I like to, make sure we're just to the direct and the point. So we definitely can look at that and shorten up some messages that are going out.
Yeah. And then the last thing is, I don't know if the insurance side of it affects this or not, 67 miles per hour instead of 65. I'm sure I've talked to a bunch of other drivers. Sometimes you get behind that guy who is on cruise control doing 63, 64, and these trucks don't exactly take off like it's a, some pickup truck. And it can make it very difficult to get around some of these guys. They got you slow down to 63, because you can't get too close. That extra couple miles an hour can make a big difference getting around some of these drivers who don't seem to really care about getting anywhere in a timely manner.
Yeah, good comment. Well, we have that ability. Ron, go ahead. Why don't you comment on the PassMark?
Yeah, we do have PassMark enabled in our trucks. And what PassMark does is you can double tap the accelerator, and it gives you an additional 3 miles per hour for 30 minutes every 8-hour or 10-hour drive segment. So we do have the ability for you to get another 3 miles per hour for passing. I don't know how long you've been with us, but I do want to let you know, we used to be a 63-mile-per-hour fleet, and we moved to 65 miles per hour because we wanted to benefit drivers. I own not only equipment, but I also own fuel. That move where we went from 63 to 65 was a $5 million a year cost on fuel. So there's a limit on what we can do and still remain profitable, and we think 65 is the right number for our max speed governed, max speed, based on fuel and driver quality of life and safety. You can get another 3 on PassMart, but it's not, I can tell you it's highly, highly unlikely to change from 65 just based on the cost of fuel.
Well, I understand that. It was, it doesn't hurt to ask. So how do I activate? I just double tap my gas pedal?
Yep, double tap the accelerator. And okay. I mean, obviously the second tap, you're going to hold it to the floor, and you'll get the extra 3 miles per hour. It is limited, again, to 30 minutes per drive per 10-hour drive segment. We enabled that probably 3 or 4 years ago based on driver feedback. I think it actually came out of one of these town hall meetings, and we enabled that, and drivers have been loving it ever since.
Yeah, let me comment on that. Right. So appreciate the feedback, David. Looks like you've been with us just a couple of months, almost 3 months now. So, I can say that the PassMart, I've used it. I have a CDL as well. It does keep it kind of, once you double tap, it shows up on your dash and it shows you're using PassMart, and it keeps track of the time. So very, very nice, and a good little boost when you need it to pass somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I think it was, I also appreciate Dusty and the answer there. We preach we are family. Our core values is a big part of what we do. And the challenge of working together as a team and making sure we're all helping each other is one that we work hard on. And it's going to be a continual problem, right? Probably throughout all the time we're together in trucking. It's just one of those things we we have to rely on each other, hold each other accountable. And so appreciate that comment, Dusty. And yeah, and Ron, they do a great job. It's a Ron is a very detail-oriented. If he could find more speed, he would have found it already in terms of the cost and the benefit. So, yeah, it's a big, long equation. We've got to be safe. We've got to be profitable. Yeah, we want to include driver comforts, all that, and we'll continue to look at that as a possibility. If we can go faster and keep it safe and affordable, we would. But yeah, that's the equation we're looking at now. So thanks for the feedback. Looks like we got a couple more minutes here, so we'll turn it over and find a new question. Go ahead, Darren. Who do we got?
Yeah, we've got quite a few drivers in the queue still. If we don't get to you, which we won't, we've only got time for one more. But if we don't get to you, please send your question to roadteam@crengland.com. Email it to roadteam@crengland.com. I will make sure that it gets to the right person on our executive team and that we get back to you. So thank you for doing that. And next up, it's going to be our last one. I think it's Johnny Ray. Johnny Ray, Target Fontana. Is that right, Johnny?
Yes.
How's it going?
I'm new to the account. My question is, how does the breakdown pay work? Because we've been in a couple of breakdowns, and I still haven't gotten – like breakdown pay. I messaged dispatch and the manager, and I still haven't gotten anything. So
okay,
I'm
what,
just
what
curious.
What fleet are you on again? What account are you on?
Target.
Target, okay. What we'll do is we'll reach out to the Target, your leadership, and looks like you're on Fleet MS. Is that correct,
Johnny? Yeah, because... Yeah, me and my team, we went out to Oregon and helped out, and we had a big breakdown. We're out for like from Thursday to like almost Wednesday, and we didn't get paid for nothing or anything. And then what are, like, about the loaner trucks? Like, if, I know, like, I work for you guys, right? But we keep our trucks clean, but they're trying to give us a loaner truck that was, like, really dirty that... I think yours will be ashamed of it being a loaner truck or someone else driving that truck. Like, it was really dirty. So I didn't feel comfortable going in it or my team member because it was, like, pet hair all over, smells, and everything. And we got to sleep in it. Like, you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, again, we will reach out to your driver manager to have them talk to you about this issue. Certainly, we also we rely on all of our drivers to keep all the trucks clean, and as we're sharing these trucks, in many cases, you know, we have to hold each other accountable. So we'll reach out, and they'll be in touch with you to kind of answer these specific questions as it relates to your situation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Johnny.
Looks like we could probably do one more quick question, Darren. Got a couple minutes.
Okay.
There.
Cool. We got coming up next, it's Tom. Tom, you there?
Yes. Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Good. We have a couple minutes. Go ahead.
No worries. Okay. Regarding the Colton Yard, 80% or 85% of the trailers out there, they're red tags. And is there a way you could assign trailer techs to start working on them? We were looking for one this morning, and it's hard to find one. And some of the trailers, they have like a quarter tank of fuel.
Yeah.
So, okay. But the main thing is like they're 80% or so red tags. So we really need help with that area.
Dan, do you want to answer this in the process of trailers and a lot of activity in the Colton Yard? Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hey, Tom, how you doing? Yes,
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. We know we're a little backed up. We are currently hiring mechanics. So if you know any mechanics out that way, let us know. But at the same time, we do bring vendors in every once in a while. You know, we try to handle it in-house because, you know, it's a lot more efficient for us. We get them done a lot quicker. But at the same time, we're getting a little bit behind, and we are aware of that. And we will get those done. We also go out there and check those trailers to make sure that they have fuel in them. If they don't, we have a fuel truck that we go out there and we do fuel those trailers. So thank you for that, and please be patient, and we appreciate it. We will get those trailers up and running as soon as possible. Thanks for the feedback, Tom.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Thanks, Tom. And it sounds like you had a birthday a couple days ago.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, happy birthday. Thanks for all you're doing. All right, we'll wrap it up there. We appreciate all the feedback and all the answers, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks, everybody. We'll end